gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's our pre-holiday extravaganza.
And by extravaganza, you mean?
We're barely here and barely sober. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Great best ofs tomorrow and Friday. If you haven't heard them, they're new to you.
That's right.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This story has our name written all over it.
What?
Right before Thanksgiving. The two things we love, turkey and Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Is that Ryan's Priebus saying Sheboygan?
Sheboygan.
Headline, Dateline Sheboygan.
Uh-huh.
Maybe this turkey was trying to launch a preemptive strike before Thanksgiving. Utility officials say a turkey flew into a power line in Sheboygan.
Turkeys can fly? Les Nessman from WKRP in Cincinnati told me that turkeys can't fly.
Right. That's what they learned at that promotion gone awry.
Yes.
A Sheboygan! First, that's the only reason I'm doing this story, because that gave me three opportunities to say.
Sheboygan!
Sheboygan press report says the contact knocked out power for about 1,500 people. That's, yeah. I wonder if it was anywhere near Bach Park.
Oh.
Or where Guy Lafleur lives. Our other two favorite words.
Here we go.
Yay, it's a parade of silly.
Wow. What was the point of that again? I don't really.
Well, here's why. Because we just love the word Sheboygan.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Number two, you can't say bark bark without repeating it, right?
Bark bark.
See? It makes you say it.
Kind of like Brett Bear.
Right. I went to the one in Palm Springs first. That's the first time I saw an actual bark bark.
Bark bark.
See? It's a dog park.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I don't know why. It's just who doesn't like to say Guy Lafleur?
Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur.
Bark bark.
Okay. So that's why. Boy, when the show starts like that, you know, it's only getting better.
Yeah. And for some reason, it's set to the William Tell Overture.
Yes, we don't know why, just because. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, lots of actual news. And a couple of love letters to me.
Okay.
This one from Steven. Someone named Steve. Greetings, surprising one.
What?
I'm surprising, but okay. I had zero idea what you looked like and was gladly surprised to see that you're not a buttless old jug. That's what passes. At this point in my life, it's what passes for a compliment.
At least you're not a buttless old jug.
Right. I guess that's because of the new ass cam back there. Okay. You are truly beautiful. Wish your show was carried on one of the local stations in my area. Yeah, well, good luck. Because there's no market for this sort of thing. Not really sure what this means or whether I'm supposed to read it. Please send me a picture of your scrunch. Be good, lovely lady. Steven.
What does that mean?
I don't. Maybe, is that, some
is
of
that
the kids,
something you can't say on the
kids,
air?
I don't know. Some of the kids might want to call me. Send me a picture of your scrunch. Is that like a scrunchie? I don't.
No, I think it means something filthy.
Hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
I haven't either, but.
A scrunchie's a hair tie.
Well, he didn't say scrunchie.
Maybe he has a weird fetish and he wants me to send him a picture of my hair tie.
No, he didn't say scrunchie. He said scrunch, which I'm sure is something completely different.
You don't know.
I'm going to Urban Dictionary right now.
You don't know. Okay.
Well, you know, on the internet, people invent words.
And then this one, more rejection. What else is new in my life? Father-in-law feedback. Steph, just want to let you know that my father-in-law watched you on Current TV for the first time the other day. He said you were good, but you're too skinny. The men in my family, not into the skinny women. Diane in Lansing, Michigan, whose father-in-law also not that into me.
But he's not really interested in seeing your scrunch, apparently.
No, but yet there's request to see my the aforementioned
scrunch.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. You know, if he's new to the show, maybe he doesn't know that I'm not that into, you know, anyone with a
right.
I don't really care that he thinks I'm too skinny.
You're not into Richard.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry, Chris. Yes.
According to Urban Dictionary, okay, there are several definitions.
Uh-huh.
A scrunch is when a girl's bikini bottom goes up her butt.
Okay.
A scrunch can also mean a hot chick.
Right.
Huh.
Or a scrunch can mean a scrotum with one testicle inside.
Beg your pardon. Wow. I have not had that since like 1974. It's offensive to me. All right, and I have two holiday gifts. One for me, one for Jim. Here we go. I just, you know, I try to find any story that makes me feel like less of a loser.
Yeah.
Less of a freak.
Yeah.
This will do it.
All right.
Swedish woman used skeleton for sex acts.
Oh.
What now?
Well. Maybe we should ask Travis Bone what that's all about.
See what T-Bone thinks about this. Maybe he'll donate his T-Bone to me when he's gone. A Swedish woman was charged on Tuesday with possession of human skulls and bones, which the prosecution claims she used for sexual purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I need some different music for this. Okay.
All right.
The 37-year-old woman kept at least 6 skulls. She's a little bit of a skull slut, if I might say. I mean, I'm not saying variety is not.
She's a slut.
Can't even
look at her. Slut.
What guy? You can't even commit to one skull? I mean, really?
Wow.
One
She's
spine.
A skull slut.
Yes. She was cheating
on the other
five
skulls.
Other skulls.
Reminds me of that line from Last Detail. The one-eyed hooker. That's it.
Okay.
Not
yeah.
One spine. So she was monogamous with one spine.
All right.
And a large number of other bones.
Like a FEMA?
I don't know. So they must feel neglected because they didn't even bother to name them. Some other...
A clavicle? Tibia?
Doesn't say. Number of
An
other
ulna?
Anonymous zones.
A humerus?
It's not that humorous.
It said that the report said she had used the human body parts for various sexual activities.
Mm.
Oh.
The mind boggles.
Then.
Okay.
No, the mind does not boggle. I can totally understand what she used some of the bones for.
Some of the bones, sure.
Pictures from a morgue also included in the evidence were found in a secret compartment in the woman's home, along with a drill and body bags.
Oh.
Oh,
well. That would explain the origin of the skeletons, I guess.
She was charged with violating the peace of the dead.
That's a thing?
The access code to the morgue was also found in her apartment. No, I think she just was sounds like a morgue
thief. Well, we know her
house. I don't think she...
Is not on an Indian burial ground if she's in Sweden.
Right, they don't have Indians in
she
Sweden.
She wrote on the internet a few years ago, "My morals set my limits, and I'm prepared to take the punishment if something should happen. It's worth it.
Okay.
I want my man like he is, whether he's dead or alive. He allows me to find sexual happiness on the sides," added the woman who said she's in a relationship. Okay, this woman's in a and I... A court-ordered psychiatric evaluation found the woman to be legally sane.
Okay.
Oh, there, everything's A-okay.
All right.
A-okay, except for the various body parts.
Pumping bones.
Stuff in the skull. Other than that, this is not crazy at all. Okay, can I have my...
Ew.
Can I have my conspiracy sausage music?
Sure.
Please? And this is my holiday gift for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, look, I even printed it out,
Jim. Oh, there it is.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've seen that, yes.
Best internet. Wouldn't this be quite the gift?
It's
best internet rumor of the day.
Plausible.
Yeah, a bunch of folks sent me this. Best internet rumor of the day. And Jim's talked about this, as has Tom Hartman. A hacking group associated with Anonymous claims to have penetrated Karl Rove's network, known as Orca, and planted and tested a targeted password-protected firewall called the Great Oz, which the group hoped would protect the citizens. They claim to have watched Rove's team try unsuccessfully and exactly 105 times to break through their firewall to affect and or change tallies on election night, explaining Carl's flabbergasted performance and refusal to accept the results on Fox News that night. And if Carl doesn't resign, the evidence goes to a certain painfully bored nemesis hanging out in a certain embassy in London.
Oh, Julian Assange.
Whoa.
But more importantly, they would want to give the evidence to the FBI.
So the frog marching of Karl Rove might happen. It just
might happen.
A few years late.
Yeah, but this in 2004 at 11:13, all their servers crashed and it bounced to another server in Tennessee, and the votes came back suddenly.
Yeah,
flip flopped.
Huh. If they could
Kerry was
that.
Leading in a landslide, and suddenly Boom.
Well, I asked. I'm not a constitutional scholar, which I know shocks both of you.
Right, yeah.
Can John Kerry be retroactively named president after President Obama?
No. No.
Why not?
Because.
Okay.
James Garfield, maybe. No, no, he can't.
Fine, you're a constitutional scholar.
But the same
thing
happened this time. When the service crashed at 11:13, and they bounced over to, I don't know where they were going this time, but they were able to keep them from flipping the votes, and that's why Roe was so stunned.
Well, somebody said
and
last
why John
time,
Kerry didn't even bother to write an, you know.
Somebody said that we were jokingly last that time. You know, wonder if we could hack it back.
Yeah.
And maybe we did.
Yeah.
That's what I called for back then.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Except what we did, it wasn't cheating. It was just winning.
Duh.
Duh.
Duh, yeah. Winning. Drink our tiger blood.
Okay. What? Is it too late for Charlie Sheenisms?
I hope it's true.
I know. All right. And then,
make it stick.
The headline is GOP's Benghazi conspiracy falls apart. White House did not change Susan Rice's talking. But Grampy, any apology to Susan Rice yet?
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Oh, for you to apologize ever?
It's not
or
the policy.
You wrong? No. Okay. Not the policy for you not to be bitter?
Clouds!
Fox News kind of dropped Benghazi yesterday.
Really?
Oh, really?
Interesting that. We'll talk about that when we get back. 17 minutes after the hour. Happy Thanksgiving! It's the pre-holiday extravaganza show on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Michelle in Madison, where are you going for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to Sheboygan.
Sheboygan! That just makes us happy.
Every year we go up for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yay.
Do you have family there, or why do you go?
My husband grew up there, so yeah, we go to visit family and drink the old fashions and the Manhattans, and then eventually get to the turkey.
Manhattans, wow, good for you. Have fun in Sheboygan.
Thanks, happy Thanksgiving.
You too, happy Thanksgiving. She just didn't want to make us happy.
Sheboygan.
Okay. All right, is the whole show going to be like this?
Yes.
Yes, only worse. Okay, Jaina in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jaina.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
And I wanted to tell you the difference between why a turkey can fly and why a turkey can't fly.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Wild turkeys fly really good.
Oh.
Domesticated turkeys are too heavy.
Right.
So they can't fly. But they
they're like the fat married ones.
Well, no. Yeah. They're the ones who've been bred to have a lot of breast meat.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so they're too top heavy.
Well, that's what they say happens when you get married. Wait, right?
It does.
When you're a wild young turkey, you know.
Yeah,
flying around, fear commitment, right?
Yeah, I wanted to say what I'm thankful for this year is Kern TV, Stephanie Miller, and all of her wonderful people.
Aww. Thank you, Jane, and thank you for the turkey fun facts. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. There she goes.
And if we ever need a city with a funny-sounding name besides Sheboygan, I nominate the Regina, Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
It sounds like
something else.
Okay.
Oh, God.
It's not as fun as the Big Beaver Corridor, but
no,
still.
No.
Which is exit?
It's 69.
Wow.
Right outside of Detroit.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There is a comedy god.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so that was a fun fact. Who knew? Domesticated turkeys, they're because they've been in the Barca Lounge.
Right.
Yeah. Drinking beers, watching
football. Right.
My friend Patrick
says. Having a little wife make him a sandwich.
My friend Patrick says that they get angry and chase people. Wild turkeys do.
Mm.
Oh.
Well, they're wild. Of course they will.
That's right. Okay. Let's go to a...
Unfettered, if you will.
Sure. Frank in San Francisco. Hello, Frank.
Well, good morning. This is such a thrill and an honor. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I never miss a show. I live for it. I wanted to comment on, I remember vividly when G.W. Bush won the election, he became president. He looked right in the camera and said, I have political clout and I'm going to use it. And he did use it to take us to war and wreck the economy. Now, why doesn't our president have better clout, bigger clout. What if he says, I'm going to use my clout and take us to peace? So that's my comment.
Oh,
there.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, then.
Well, if that were that easy, I probably would have done that by now. But
I just he just reminded me of one of those Bush quirks that we hated so much is that he would always, when he would say a word, and then he would always say in other words, then he would use the same word.
Yeah.
I earned capital. In other words,
I'm going to do what I want now.
I got capital. I earned political capital. Like, oh, that's different than what you just said. Political capital in this election, I tend to suspect.
It's a new word I learned.
Okay.
Capital. Political capital.
Carol in Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. And I want to wish you all a happy holiday. You deserve it.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, your staff. You're all marvelous.
I can't
say enough about you. And for reality, sprinkled with some comedy, and lots of comedy and great thoughts.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Oh, by the way, would you like a sad story about my sad little life?
Okay.
Because when you say happy Thanksgiving to you and yours,
yeah,
mine means you and Jim. Because my holiday consists of having Jim over for Thanksgiving dinner with his lovely wife and a few other friends. And then taking you on a date.
Yeah.
On Saturday. See Book of Mormon.
Wow. To a matinee, because neither one of us can see an evening show.
we're going to bring our Werther's and our little snack pack.
Exactly.
And then we'll be drooling and starting to sleep on each other by the end. All right.
By the way, Shafe in the chat room
says
that if having big breasts means you can't fly, then Jennifer Tilly must take the train.
Wow. Hey, that's a big booby joke. Waka, waka, waka.
This just in. Wild turkeys, I determined, are wild because they've been drinking too much wild turkey.
Here you go.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that Thanksgiving fun fact.
Fun
thank
fact.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
You don't get that kind of information at a park.
Or Sheboygan.
Right. Okay.
Or from Guy Lafleur.
I bet Guy Lafleur doesn't drink wild turkey.
David, I don't know if anyone else is enjoying this, but I am.
Yeah, we're not even a half hour into the show yet. What the hell?
David in New York, and this is exactly what Thanksgiving is like at my house. It's Jim and I just
Hello.
Drinking. And,
oh, hi.
Yeah, oh, hi, David. How are you?
We're having a party.
All right, listen, I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
But I have one question. I totally agree with your political viewpoints. 1,000%. The capitalists and the Romney, Reagan, Ryan, all that bullshit.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
Well, he didn't get to his complaint because he dropped an S-bomb on me.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped a bomb on me.
Did you get that, Current?
Okie dokie. Mike in Los Angeles. Thank you for that gift.
Boy.
Mike in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, you know what? You guys, I'm hooked on you guys.
Oh, I'm hooked on you.
I love the way Jim does it. Right, Primus?
Yes.
Reinhardt, right, Primus?
You guys are wonderful.
Thank you.
Say, I wanted to ask you, you recall Romney saying that that Obama made the recession worse during the campaign?
Who said that? Oh, Romney did. Yes.
Romney.
Right.
Yeah. Why didn't Obama mention, well, the stock market is higher than it's ever been under me?
And corporate profits at an all-time high. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. So he made it so worse, but then big business didn't back him.
Yep, absolutely. Mike, you know what? I was distracted that whole time because I love a man that starts a sentence with say. I don't know why. It's just really old-fashioned.
Old-timey.
It's old-timey. I picture you drinking an old man drink after
that.
What
does she say?
Oh, by the way, too, I happen to be black, and I didn't receive my compensation from Obama that Romney said I was supposed to get.
You've not received
your
gift.
Gifts.
You know,
nobody
else
got their gifts either that I know of.
It's not as reliable. The president probably didn't use Amazon, which he should. He forgot to renew his Amazon Prime. Say, let me take a sip of my gimlet. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Jackie next with a healthcare corner and the latest in the
Real Housewives of CENTCOM.
Scandal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Of course, all my relatives will be over for Thanksgiving dinner. I know they will. They're circling over the house now.
I've got to remember to bring my E-flat harp every time you play this song.
Yes. Jim was so cute the other night for the big party. He always brings his little box of harmonicas, and then it rained.
No,
bring him for Thanksgiving, because we're gonna play some music, eat some turkey.
Bring some amps and guitars.
Yeah.
Drink awesome. Some stuff.
Some stuff.
Stuff.
Okay. All right. Lots to get to here.
It's Schechter.
Yeah. Wow. Again. All right, then. Well, hello, Jackie Schechter again.
Good morning.
Are you going home to your real family and not your dysfunctional little work family?
Yes, I'm going home to my real family for Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, fine.
Yes. And I've been working out extra hard this week so that I can eat seconds and thirds of my mother's stuffing.
Oh.
Extraordinary.
What's in the Mrs. Schechter stuffing? Do tell.
Do I look like I cook? I have no idea.
No.
Delicious. And what she does is she makes the stuffing to bring to the dinner, mm-hmm. and then she makes an extra pan of it for me.
Oh, yay. To take home with you?
No, to eat while I'm home.
Oh.
Are you the kind of person that likes the crusty stuff at the edge of the pan?
Oh, it's so good. The whole thing has got this crusty topping.
Oh, yeah.
And there's mushrooms in it. It's not that mushy stuffing. It's got like a more solid consistency. Oh, it's just so good.
Well, you know, I've shared my mom's Polish sauerkraut recipe for Thanksgiving. It seems like Mrs. Schechter shouldn't be so withholding with her
I'll
stuffing
get a recipe.
From
her.
Okay, fine.
I'm sure
right.
she's watching or DVRing or taking notes. I'll have her send it.
Mom, what did we learn today? Sharing.
There's no sauerkraut involved.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Thank God.
All right,
no.
Jackie Schechter, let's... it does get better and better, the whole military Desperate Housewives of sitcom scandal. So, Jill Kelly, she's, I think, my favorite.
Not the porno.
No.
No.
So Bubba the Once Love Sponge is involved. Explain.
You want me to explain?
Yes.
I'm not
familiar
with Bubba the Love Sponge, so I had to look that up to make sure it was a real thing.
It's a real thing. He's a morning radio host in Tampa.
He's a morning radio host, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was unfamiliar with that. I thought, somebody's punking us.
No, real guy.
But it seems like Jill Kelly was somehow engaged to get him to stop. I guess he threatened to deep fry a Quran.
Right.
Oh,
and
right.
As a wacky morning radio stunt. That'll
probably get
people killed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And General Petraeus and General Allen were unhappy with this alleged proposal of a stunt.
Right.
So they called on Jill Kelly to intervene.
Because as you do, you'd be like, anyone know a Tampa socialite? That's who we need.
I mean,
maybe
she's like
the president.
Most bizarre super heroine ever.
Maybe the president should nominate her as the new Secretary of State. Maybe.
It's so strange.
Clearly,
it's like
a
whenever
diplomat.
They had an issue, they just called Jill.
She's the fixer.
She's a problem
solver.
She's
like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
The wolf.
I bet you John McCain would let her sail through as Secretary of State because, all right.
Whatever.
That's just weird.
Because she's aerodynamic? I don't understand.
Could you call Bubba the Lud Sponge? What? Okay. That's just weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. In serious news, we dive into Jackie's healthcare corner. So you sent me a Washington Post piece. This is actually, this is going to be a serious problem, but many Americans are unaware of healthcare law changes. Now comes the real work, right? Of people knowing about this, and because if enough people don't take part, it's not going to work, right?
Right. I mean, we've got a big task ahead of us, and this is going to be a big issue. I mean, obviously, we know from the fight over the Affordable Care Act that we had a lot of trouble getting the right information out, and so that people knew what was really going on and what the Affordable Care Act really does.
I was just going to say, once again, Republicans, thanks again.
Yeah.
Because they've spent so much time demagoguing it and stonewalling it, it also has led to this wall of misinformation that now that it's survived the Supreme Court in this election, right? We have to start getting out the right information so people know what to do.
Right. And the problem is that we've got to get people enrolled in the plans. We've got to get people to understand how they can take part in these healthcare exchanges, what they are, how to access them. And the problem is that we've got to get critical mass, right? We've got to get a lot of people involved so that we can keep prices low, so that we can use the power of more and more people. Insurance companies will keep their rates, allegedly, will keep their rates lower if they have more people enrolled. The idea is get people to participate, and that's very difficult to do when people don't know what exists. So the government has a real kind of PR task ahead of it to try to get the information out, and that's tricky. And we see this problematic in the healthcare system already, things like Medicaid, where people who are eligible don't know how to participate.
And we see people, Jackie, just yesterday continuing to publicize this. The latest was this, the governor of Oklahoma,
right,
who said, I'm not going to do the exchange because it's going to cost Oklahomans too much money. And you of course, found out she turned down, 40-something million dollars of federal funding for this.
I think there's still... $54-55 million that would have helped them study how best to set up and implement a state-based exchange. It was grant money that was offered by HHS, and it looks like she turned it down. There were two different stories, one that she turned down a chunk of change and the other from HHS saying it had offered the grant. So I assume that that's the money that she had turned down.
Right.
But a lot of these governors are standing on principle. It's the same thing Rick Scott did with the high-speed rail system in Florida, right? It was like, I think it was a couple $1 billion that he was offered to build a high-speed rail system, and he turned it down on principle, and that's money that just goes somewhere else.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, and this is the problem, is that, you know, I love this part of the story. Initial White House effort at outreach caused congressional Republicans to accuse the administration of using taxpayer money for political gain. So
that was the best. They've tried to reach out, and Republicans said it was political during an election year.
Right,
and
to educate people about what's in the health care so that they can take advantage of it, and it can help people. And so that's what I mean. It's we're up against so much intransigence that these numbers are scary. 78% of the uninsured Americans who are likely to qualify for the subsidies were unfamiliar with the new coverage options in a survey. In a new poll, 83% of those likely to qualify for the expansion of Medicaid were unaware of that option. So now what? I mean,
well, the problem is the government has a lot of trouble simplifying this information so people understand it. And that's a lot of what we're trying to do here, right, is when we talk about this, we try to make it easy to understand. And, you know, what I want to do, and I think that we collectively continue to want to do, is to make this as easy as possible for people not only to get it, but to be able to share it with their friends and family. So where there are gaps in information, maybe we can help plug those holes a little bit.
But, I mean, some people are saying, you know, we're going to need a, you know, fairly massive PR campaign for people to understand this, to take advantage of it in time, correct?
Yeah, they did that in Massachusetts. They used the Red Sox as part of a PR campaign. They got people to pay attention that way. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that is what we're going to need. And I think people need to fundamentally understand a couple of things, right? What's going to happen is each state is going to set up these exchanges, which are going to be like marketplaces, and I'd like to describe them as like Travelocity or Expedia. Right, you do a one-stop shop for your travel,
right,
where it compiles all the possibilities. That's what it's going to be like. On the back end, however, it's going to figure out whether or not, based on your income, you qualify for what's called a subsidy, which is essentially help paying for that premium. You're going to still pay your premiums, but you're going to get some help based on how much money you make.
Okay.
And the back end of that system is going to have to figure out who qualifies and who doesn't. So that's where some of the infrastructure is going to be a little complicated on the state level and also on the federal level, to figure out what kind of subsidies people qualify for. But people, anybody can shop in the exchange, except I think undocumented immigrants are the only people who are excluded from it. But you can shop as an individual on the exchange. And if you qualify for a subsidy, great. And if you don't, you're still able to shop on the exchange and compare and contrast plans.
Right. Okay.
So that's fundamentally what's going into place. It's just people need to know that they exist. They need to know how to access them. They need to know what to look for.
And the subsidies don't begin for another year, right?
Yeah, they're not. They're going to start. Allegedly, we're going to start enrolling people October of 2013, but the exchanges won't be ready up and running until January 2014. Which actually isn't that far away now, if you think about it.
Do you think that, again, there's going to be any of the, are we just in this post-election, like, tantrumy period still, where, you know, people are still trying to make political points, or do you think that, you know, at some point this just becomes inevitable?
Well, I think what's happened is a lot of these people stood on ceremony and threw tantrums all the way along because ideologically they didn't want to accept the fact that we need to change our healthcare system and that the Obama administration and Congress took a good step forward in doing the right thing, and it's something that the Republicans haven't done ever. So I think that it became a political fight, and they ignored the fact that there's some decent policy in there. And now they haven't read the bill. They haven't done their homework. They've just regurgitated talking points for so long that they're now behind the eight ball, and none of them know what to do because they've got to admit that they were wrong.
Right, and they've succeeded in confusing a lot of Americans about what's in there, right? I mean, and that's
because
what
they're confused. I don't think any of them really understand what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. I really believe that these people need to kind of sit down. Take it on the plane with you. Do some light reading.
Right. There's some light reading on the plane for your holiday visit.
Yeah,
because I can only take so many calls for Jackie Schechner, ladies and gentlemen. We can't clear up all the confusion just on this show.
No, and I will tell people, healthcare.gov, I mean, I know people are kind of afraid of government sites, but healthcare.gov has some really good explanations of what's going on. And it'll tell you what's going on for individuals, for small business, for large businesses. It gives you a lot of information. And then the Kaiser Family Foundation also does a lot of really good work on this. Families USA has some good information. You can really reach out and look for information online, but go to some of those resources, especially healthcare.gov, because it they break it down, and you can read the entire law.
And we're not doing this. I'm not doing this as a public service to help people. I'm trying to do it as a way to clear my inbox of questions for you so that I can get more pictures of cute puppies
well, I get
and
a lot of
kitty
Twitter
videos.
Questions, which I'm happy to answer, but there's just so many hours in the day, and I've got to stay up on this Pentagon Pedreas thing.
Right,
so,
right. You've got stuff to do, and I've got kitty videos to look at. I can't be, can you ask Jackie 1,000 times a day? No, I can't. I have, so there you go. Healthcare, well, say it again.
Healthcare.gov.
There's .gov.
I just put a link to it up on your Facebook page, Stephanie.
That's like magic. Look what happened there.
Yes.
Amazing. And I'll work on getting that. Speaking of healthcare, I'll work on getting that stuffing recipe
yeah.
for you.
Give it up. Give it up, Mrs. Schechner. Give it up. All
Does
right.
it have sausage in it? Sausage stuffing is really good.
No, it no? doesn't. But I'm no. sure you could add sausage to it. Oh, this is just sounding really bad now.
All right. you got Jim's attention. All right. Thank you, Jackie Schechner. Love you.
Love you guys too.
Bye.
Your delightful little holiday side dish. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's our broadcast news moment of the morning. Thank you, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We had a session with Hal Sparks live in studio for Hump Days with Hal in hour number 3 today and much more. All right. So we have, I'm still waiting, and we're waiting. And we're waiting for John McCain's apology.
Oh, yeah.
And no.
Confused.
No. Oh, here's a fun fact.
What?
Kevin says, I now understand why McCain has it in for Susan Rice. From Susan Rice's Wikipedia page, Rice went on leave from Brookings Institution to serve as a senior foreign policy advisor to Senator Barack Obama in 2008 presidential campaign. Rice took a disparaging view of Obama's Republican opponent in the campaign, John McCain, calling his policies reckless. Yes.
Hmm.
And dismissing the Arizona senator's trip to Iraq as strolling around the market in a flak jacket.
Oh!
So that's why the angriest little elf is still the angriest, bitterest little elf ever.
A leprechaun, not an elf.
Sorry, I apologize.
Is this in a select committee? If appointed, clears her of any wrongdoing? Besides not being very bright, because it was obvious that this was not a, quote, flash mob. There was no demonstration, Charlie. There was none there.
Am I?
You were there? You saw all this?
Yeah. You thought like after the election result there'd be like a reality check on the other side.
Right.
You said even Fox News has dropped this.
Yeah.
What is John McCain incapable of ever admitting he was wrong, whether it's on Don't Ask, Don't Tell,
no.
or ever apologizing
he's
to anybody?
He's famous for never admitting that he's wrong.
I mean, this ship has sailed.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, what is he talking about? Intelligence officials told CNN the intelligence community, not the White House, changed the Benghazi talking points given to Susan Rice. What is he? He does not have a leg to stand on this. The director of national intelligence spokesperson said the only substantive changes came from the intelligence community, not the White House. As David Petraeus just said. I mean, what? He keeps screaming about he's looking for answers, and then he gets them, and he keeps screaming.
Right. Those aren't the answers I want.
Petraeus said the CIA's original assessment of the Benghazi attack was that it was carried out by Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, but he reportedly said that analysis was later taken out of after an interagency review in favor of a more general assessment that extremists, quote-unquote, carried out the attack to broaden the scope and not tip off terrorists to U.S. knowledge of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
We already covered this with, General Petraeus, and now other intelligence officials are just, making it even clearer. So let's see. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, blah, 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 have accused the White House of stripping the language for political reasons. The director of the CIA and now current intelligence officials have said no. The intelligence agencies changed it, not the White House.
Right.
I don't understand why we're even talking about this still. Let's see. He said the intelligence community made substantive analytical changes before the talking points were sent to the government agency partners for their feedback. There were no substantive changes made to the talking points after they left the intelligence community. Period. Another anonymous intelligence official echoed him, saying the changes were made based on legitimate intelligence and for legal purposes. They say first the information about the individuals linked to Al-Qaeda was derived from classified sources. Classified. Second, the links were so tenuous, and they still are, it makes sense to be cautious before pointing fingers so you don't set off a chain of circular and self-reinforcing assumptions. Third, it is important to be careful not to prejudice a criminal investigation in the early stages. Representative Adam Schiff, who we just had on yesterday from the House Intelligence Committee, said Petraeus was adamant there was no politicization of the process, no White House interference, or political agenda.
Screw caution. I want to blame it on that one.
The end of the story is media commentators are beginning to wonder why Republicans are picking a substance-free fight with Rice, a woman and an African-American, after the drubbing they just took in the election
right.
among those demographics, which is why James Clyburn and others are saying these are code words. I mean, like John Sununu calling the president it's not very bright and lazy after the first debate. I mean, to say she's not bright, I mean...
lie.
Yeah. Representative James Clyburn, Price saw this yesterday, accused Republicans in Congress of using racial code words to undermine the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, even though they can't hold a candle to her intellectually. So these 97 House Republicans said Rice is widely viewed as having either willfully or incompetently misled the American... The CIA said no. These are the talking points. I don't even understand why there's any criticism of her at this point. Yeah, anyway, so John McCain is one that said she's not qualified and not very bright, as we just played. Representative Marsha Fudge said there was a clear racism.
Marsha Fudge.
That's her name. And guilty of... said there's clear racism and sexism. Clyburn said these are code words. We heard them in the campaign during this recent campaign. We heard Senator Sununu calling our president lazy and incompetent. These kinds of terms that those of us, especially those of us who were born and raised in the South, we've been hearing these little words and phrases all of our lives and we get insulted by them.
Yep.
He said Susan Rice is as competent as anyone you will find. To say she erroneously did it, I don't have a problem with it. But to call her incompetent, a PhD, a Rhodes Scholar, from being called incompetent by someone who can't hold a candle to her intellectually, by someone who said, and Senator McCain called her incompetent as well, but he told us that Sarah Palin was a very competent person to be Vice President of the United States. That ought to tell you a little bit about his judgment. Thank you, Representative
Clyburn. It's personal for him, and he's leading all of the Republicans in this attack on Susan Rice because of the personal thing.
Damn cloud!
Yeah.
Yes. She is like a cloud that he is angry at. I honestly, and even to say she did something erroneously, she didn't.
She didn't.
These were the talking points that the intelligence agency said, this is what it is. This is what we want. You know, this is all that they feel was, unclassified to talk about at the time.
Right.
And
it's insulting for the Republicans to call her a stooge, someone who is just simply pliant, who would read anything that the White House would put in front of her.
No, that's what they do at Fox News.
Exactly. That's not what Susan Rice does.
Stacey in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stace.
Hi. Forget John McCain. I want an apology from Mitt Romney for being called, like, lazy, 7%er. But my comment was I wanted to make
by
a comment
way,
about...
By the way, can I just tell you something? Isn't it ironic, file? By the way, they're reporting this morning, Stacey, that Romney will probably finish up the 2012 election with a little over 47% of the popular vote.
How about that?
That's funny. What scares me, though, is yesterday I watched Glenn Beck has his new book out and he's advertising it.
Boy.
And he was trying to sum it all up. And they were questioning him. You know, he was telling a little bit about it. I listened to the whole thing and it made absolutely no sense. And it was weird. I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. But at the end, he said something about he was confused because he couldn't understand why liberals were, they seemed, he thought they were dumber than Tea Partiers, but now people are saying Tea Partiers are, and it's like he's flipping out on TV or something. It was weird.
Yeah, that's something new for Glenn Beck.
But what's scary, though, what he did say, he's in Texas now. He moved, yep. And he took over like a weird church, and he turned minister. I've been watching him for years.
Wow.
I've been watching politics for 10 years, and I watched him when he first came out.
Mm-hmm.
He had his show, and he was like wacky and weird. He drew old women, you know, 70 to 89 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I heard he'd go into old folks' home, get them to stand there and cheer and hold signs, and then nobody would have chairs for him, or they wouldn't get a bus back to the old folks' home. You know, he's just shady, but
wow.
He's in Texas. He's running a mega church now, I think.
Glenn Beck is?
He moved to Texas.
Oh, that's right. He said to go move by land, something. After the election, go, okay.
Yeah, there's something Waco-ish about
yikes.
What he's doing.
Okay. Oh. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Oh, like Julie in Seattle did with an update on Ellie. Ellie is making my mom's Polish sauerkraut for Thanksgiving. Mama, Ellie really is making your Polish Thanksgiving side dish for 15 people. Yikes, that's a big frying pan.
It's a lot of
she
kraut.
Plans to record the reactions when she decants it from the great iron pot and serves it. No, not a pot. You need a frying pan, Ellie.
A saute pan.
Right. Oh, for God's sakes. I can't go to everybody's house. Hence her numerous demands for the recipe details. A few final issues. Number one, you said you boil it for like 20 minutes. Seriously? 20 minutes? Doesn't it turn into a gelatinous off-color cabbage goo? After 5 minutes?
No. Isn't that generally what sauerkraut is anyway?
No, you put a little water in there, you boil it for like 20 minutes, and then you drain it, and then you put it in the fry pan with the sautéed mushrooms and onions and the bacon fat.
I would think that would soften the cabbage even more.
Right. Are the fumes flammable? No.
Computer says no.
Number three, can you substitute kimchi and make it a Korean Thanksgiving?
Ooh.
No.
Computer says no.
Why not?
Has anyone ever asked for seconds?
Computer says yes.
Yes.
Why couldn't you substitute kimchi? Kimchi is basically spicy sauerkraut.
Listen, you're on your own. I'm a Polak. That's all I know is my version. Y'all are welcome to your own ethnic version of it. I'm out now.
You're out?
Good. Enjoy.
Finito.
Happy Thanksgiving. Finito. All right. We have important work to do.
Yes.
On Thanksgiving. Ruth Riley, WNBA star.
Absolutely.
From the Chicago Sky, Olympic gold medalist. I don't think they hear this on conservative shows on guests. You just said, she did just come back from
South Africa,
where she was
feeding the hungry.
Right, exactly. I don't think any guest on the Right Wing Show.
No, not.
And yet she joins us now. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
You must be a little sleepy.
Well, I crashed pretty early last night, so I think I'm good to go.
Okay, good.
You got to talk to us about your work. It's called No Kid Hungry, correct? And tell us about it.
I mean, No Kid Hungry is a wonderful campaign here in the United States. Most people, when they think of hunger issues, they do think of Africa or the developing world. And the reality is that so many children are going hungry here in the U.S. And No Kid Hungry is just trying to bring some light and awareness on that issue.
Well, it seems like a simple mission. It says No Kid Hungry campaign connects kids in need with nutritious food and teaches their families how to cook healthy, affordable meals. I mean, that's it sounds simple, but that's the whole game, isn't it?
It is. It is very simple. There's some wonderful programs out there, so it's really just trying to connect the kids who are in hungry and are in need to those programs. And school is the best way to do that. Kids, if they're in school, it's really hard for them to concentrate if they don't have nutritious food to get them through the day. And so, you know, not only are you providing them a resource that they need at the time, but, I mean, it's a way to help them, you know, down the road gain a positive education.
Hmm. And part of this, as you were talking about school, it's about getting school breakfast, summer meals, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and it's programs in the morning for breakfast where kids can come to school, get a nutritious meal in the morning, obviously free and reduced lunch programs during the day, and then during the summer where these kids, oftentimes this is the only nutritious meal they're getting is at school, making sure that there's a provision for them, whether it's at a food bank or a youth center or a park or a church or somewhere where they can get that free meal during the summer as well.
Ruth, you know, obviously we just sort of, we barely survived this whole political season. There's just so much demagoguing. And, you know, the president obviously was called the food stamp president by Newt Gingrich. And who can remember what other Republicans and all of that. You have a personal story, right, about growing up on food stamps and how important that is to so many people in this country.
I do. My mom struggled to raise three kids on her own. And, you know, there was a period of time in my childhood where she couldn't do it by herself and she needed the assistance. And, you know, I mean, she's a very proud woman and worked extremely hard in multiple jobs. But, you know, there was a good 8-month period there where we relied on food stamps to just get us by. And I mean, it's humbling on one side, and the other, you're extremely grateful that there is that provision for the people who truly need them.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think that's why, in my opinion, there was really so much outrage over Mitt Romney's comments, because, you know, 47% of us are not moochers. You know, people that have to take food stamps at whatever points in their life, it's not like that's their aspiration. You know, it's necessary.
I mean, it is necessary. It's humbling to have to say I need help from somebody else to actually reach out and take that. But I mean, the economic times in our country is, and now, I mean, so many more people are in need now just because of the situation that they're facing with the economy and unemployment. And, you know, we think about the unemployment issues, but you forget how that affects their children. And No Kid Hungry is trying to take care of a small portion of that.
Talk to us about the Cooking Matters program. That sounds actually really, really interesting.
And Cooking Matters is a great way for people to learn how to cook on a budget. And that's something that, regardless of, you know, your income, it's important to know. And also how to cook healthy, nutritious meals. A lot of people don't understand, you know, when they go to the grocery store, how they can make their money spread and last, and that they can buy quality meals and give their kids the nutrition that they need.
Yeah. Ruth, you just got back from South Africa?
I did. I had a wonderful trip over there.
Wow. And what can we do? I mean, talk to us about what we can do in, you know, right here in America. Because as you said, I think we got a report yesterday that it was like in Oklahoma. They talked about the number of kids that go to bed hungry every day. And I think people just don't, first of all, know that that's happening in America and be what they can do about it.
Well, there's so many things that you can do. If you log on to nokidhungry.org, there's tons of information on there. And especially as we go into the holiday season, you know, thinking about others who don't have, you know, the food that we're about to share with our families is a great time to log on and just make a difference, whether it's making a donation, whether it's volunteering, you know, teaching your kids about some of these issues. It's a great teaching point as well.
Ruth, my last question is, does the Chicago Sky, do they need anyone with a good hook shot, although maybe a little bit older?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to brag. I was first team all Catholic in 1979 in upstate New York, DeSales Catholic League.
Great. Come on out. We'd love to have you.
Just thought you should know that.
Your bones are a little more brittle than they were back then, though.
That's like the Kareem skyhook, though.
This is a skyhook, exactly.
My bones are going to snap like a sparrow, my first attempt at skyhook. All right. Ruth Riley of the Chicago Sky and just of general awesomeness.
Yep.
Ruth, thanks so much and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Same to you.
All right. Thank you. There's
and that's nokidhungry.org. And we put a link to it up at your Facebook page and at stephaniemiller.com.
First time they pass me the ball, all my bones will shatter. Hey, Grandma, here. Oh.
Damn fool, kids.
Hit me at the top of the key.
You just fall into a gelatinous heap on the on the hardwood.
That's her.
What? Who?
That's
oh, her. She's yeah. hot. Hello. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you,
that's
Jim.
My point.
Thanks.
Okay. She talked about very important stuff.
Yeah. I know it. I just, thank God I didn't have a visual. Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Jim frequently mocks me because I talk about astrology, which you say you're...
Well, you know, I'm a tourist, so I don't believe in that stuff.
Right. Your numerologist.
My numerologist says it's a bunch of.
Yeah. Hooey. So right.
My shaman's on the fence. So.
Yeah. Shaman hasn't decided yet.
No. Shaman's.
Stop rolling your eyes at me. I was concerned because Mercury went retrograde at 6 p.m. on election night, and I was afraid.
And look what happened.
Well, it was in retrograde for Karl Rove.
Julie sends us a handy horoscope reference.
I was going to mention
chart.
Something about Uranus, but that's not
all right. Stop it, Jim. I think Julie's on your side. Astrology is a bunch of. Okay.
It is.
This is your horoscope, just summed up. Aries, selfish. It's P word. Taurus, stubborn. Hole. Gemini, annoying attention whore. Cancer, moody jerk. Leo, egotistical douchebag. Virgo, neurotic bitch. Libra, that's me, flaky derelict. Yeah. Scorpio, obsessive. That's a T word for woman's.
Oh.
Sagittarius.
Tart?
Yes. No. Sagittarius, awkward, tard. Capricorn, greedy emo.
What?
Aquarius.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
I'm not greedy emo.
Emo.
I'm the farthest thing from emo.
Aquarius, perverted psychopath, and Pisces, whiny bimbo.
Emo Phillips. Okay. Would an emo be wearing a happy camper shirt? No.
I think not.
Emo. Okay.
I'm starting to have doubts about astrology now. Just based on the T-shirt.
All right, and Jesse in Iowa. Another future husband for me. Here we go. An Athens, Georgia man was arrested and charged after he took to the sidewalk outside a bar with a taser protruding from his pants like a penis, then proceeded to spark the weapon at passersby.
Oh, boy.
He engaged in the behavior after a drunken altercation with his wife inside the bar.
Okay. Well, what better place for a drunken altercation?
Yeah.
A bar.
I'm gonna put a taser in my pants.
I saw that
you got
story
a baby
yesterday,
and the taser
in a bar. I saw that story yesterday. I didn't think you would do it, so I didn't send it to you. Wow.
What's not great about putting a taser in his pants and pretending it's a penis?
A taser in your pants
outside a bar.
No.
Look at you. You got a taser
in your pants
and a bar. Okay. 17 minutes after
wow.
the hour.
This is
we continue with
nuts.
A drunken pre-holiday extravaganza on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Well, if you're coming up,
yeah.
then... Well,
yeah, yeah, come on with it. Come on. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Carolyn in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carolyn.
Good morning. Good. Happy Wild Turkey Day.
Good morning.
About your recipes,
yes.
This is the one that my mom used to use to fill pierogi.
To what?
And then the pierogi.
Oh, pierogi. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the one that we use has got, instead of bacon, it's got actual pork fat, which is really disgusting.
Yeah.
But we put caraway in it and
oh,
a
caraway.
And potato that's shredded.
Oh, and see, dill is our magic ingredient. But all right.
Caraway goes really well with it.
Fine. Fine with your caraway.
No.
I celebrate
no.
our differences.
You're delicious because it's inside the tipper.
Oh, dear.
You just throw it on the...
Oh, dear. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. We had that was a bad phone.
She dropped her phone in the pierogi.
What's that? All right. What? We haven't... Oh, that's right. We haven't done our Thanksgiving pageant.
That's right.
The kids do a thing every year, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to all of the Republican candidates who lost and the teabaggers.
Eat me! Potato barbecue. Eat me! You want some rest for now or food? We won't stay fresh for very long.
Yay! Okay, including you, Alan West.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone. And
you too.
We're not going to go Bye-bye. Forth and contest the certified results
Hooray.
That St. Lucie County sent up. We're going to move ahead, and we wish Congressman Murphy elect
yep.
very well.
Okay, then. All right. Bye. Bye-bye now. See ya.
He's going to move to Glenn Becky Becky Stan.
Wouldn't want to be ya. Oh, do we have that?
What?
Are moving to...
Glenn
Becky Becky Stan. That's right. We need to, because we're helpers, Jim. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. All right. Oh, dear. This is a disturbing headline for comedy, Jim. Iowa. This from the Wall Street Journal. Iowa's GOP governor, time to end the straw poll. Oh, no. Julian Seattle says, not the corndog fellatio follies in jeopardy.
Oh, no.
The opening event of the clown car season threatens? Say it isn't so. Without the last Iowa Ames
Marcus train. Marcus Bachman is living.
Yes! We'd have missed out on Mitten's signature line, corporations are people, my friend, and on Rick Perry, Michelle Bachman, and her consort, Super Nothing Bugs Him, making icky love to giant phallic dough-fried wieners in front of God and the sea of media people with cameras. Yeah, there's a whole, is one of the quirkiest rituals of the Republican presidential election calendar heading for the grave? It is if Iowa's Republican Governor Terry Branstad has his way, eyeing the wreckage of the 2011 Ames poll, which Michelle Bachman won, only to fizzle shortly after. He said, I think the straw poll has outlived its uselessness. No. Usefulness, I mean. It's been a great fundraiser of the party, but I think its days are over. He pointed to Ms. Bachman's rapid rise and fall as Exhibit A for why the straw poll no longer makes sense. No. That was a big hunk of my act for sexy liberal, the Iowa corndog.
I blame Jehovah God.
Oh, God, Jehovah God, the end is near. Don't say not for the Iowa straw poll. No.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Mm-hmm. Another GOP chairman there, though, said there is nothing like it in the country, and I'm surprised any Iowan would ever talk it down. Yes, that's right.
Go with that.
Right. No canceling the Iowa corndog fellatio festivities. No. All right. Oh, because we're helpers and it's Thanksgiving?
Marcus is trying to de-gay that corn dog.
All y'all secessionists, we got somewhere for you to move.
Are you tired of your government taking away liberties and freedoms you can't quite name? Are your vague platitudes and third-hand anecdotal facts falling on deaf ears? Well, come secede, or sec-D with us, in the Teabagger Utopia.
Glenn, Becky, Stan.
I will personally come to your house and help you pack.
Your hard-earned money is yours to keep. There are no taxes in
Glenn, Becky, Stan.
Of course, there are no roads, bridges, police, fire protection, no teachers, hospitals, libraries, garbage pickup, or sewage treatment in
Glenn, Becky, Stan.
But hey, who cares about that big government nonsense? You'll feel like our founding fathers as you struggle against the elements, fending off wild animals and your fellow teabaggers when provisions run low and their survivalist training kicks in.
Get off my land!
Who needs government? It's overrated. Join us in
Glenn, Becky, Stan.
We have freedoms with none of the responsibilities. You want to shoot your gun in any direction? Go ahead. Want to lock your wife and children in the basement? Nobody's asking questions. Remember, freedom isn't free, but with a small down payment, it can be yours for a song.
Above the fruited plain.
Glenn, Becky, Stan.
Our future is in the past.
Teddy Pick and Shape. Thank you, boys.
Yay.
Thank you, boys. By the way, Ron Paul, I hope he runs again.
Yeah.
Plenty of room in the clown car next time. He said the secession petitions raise a lot of worthwhile questions. His argument pushes back against
Are you nuts?
He pushes back against the principle that it's unpatriotic.
Push it back. Way back.
Paul said he wouldn't hold his breath on any state actually seceding, but he says it's not treasonous for a state to consider such an option.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Really now? Yeah, sort of is. Yeah, it is.
Kind
of the definition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Treason?
Yeah.
Okay. If the possibility of secession is completely off the table, he said there's nothing to stop the federal government from continuing to encroach on our liberties and no recourse for those who are sick and tired of it. After all, as he argues, if people cannot secede from an oppressive government, they cannot truly be considered free. This government would be oppressive. This one currently would be considered... Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
The good news is, here's a clown car alert.
Oh?
How exciting is this? GOP sees record bench for 2016. Oh, no!
And they're all creationists.
upwards of 15 prominent Republicans privately considering 2016 campaigns. Paul Ryan and Marco Rubio will both unveil new policy plans at an awards dinner of the Jack Kemp Foundation on December 4th. Ryan will begin a new push on a more modern approach to alleviating poverty.
Kill the poor?
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Fill in your own joke there.
That's one way of doing it.
Put them in a high-tech wood chip or something.
Just eliminate the poor and even eliminate the poverty.
What? Frothy the Santorum telling friends he wants to run again. Governor Rick Perry, saying he might too.
Really?
Has begun talking to donors.
So, don't they know that they already failed at this?
That is a deep, deep bench.
So you're saying Frothy has the runs?
Yeah. He came from behind last time. He could surge again.
Go to break. Go to break.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't cook a Thanksgiving dinner. All I can make is cold cereal and maybe toast.
That's right. I've seen you make toast.
Republican Party 2012. Yeah. Toast.
Toast.
I like toast.
1-800.
Republicans are toast.
Step 1 to the phone number. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I have three quick points.
Yes.
Okay. I am a Cancer, which makes me a moody bitch. So
that's right. All right. So we will not. Okay. Yeah, we will not get in your way. Go ahead.
Number two, I really wish you all a very happy holiday and a happy Thanksgiving. And Book of Mormon's great. You'll have a ball.
I can't wait.
We can't wait. We have a date.
And finally,
don't forget my wrist corsage.
Okay. Don't forget my boutonniere.
And then drink mojitos like I did last night. Ooh. Mom's home from the hospital and she's healing well.
Aww.
And I had a lovely mojito and I was feeling no pain.
Yay.
But finally, here's the thing. A direct member of my family in my immediate family worked for Susan Rice as her research assistant for 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And there is not a finer human being. She has more intelligence and integrity in her tiny little finger.
We had her on this show and she is, because she was so way out of my league intellectually.
She
couldn't be nicer.
Such integrity. She is a great mom.
Yep.
She is a great human American. She, you know, Grumpy McCain and doesn't have a shred of that even in his onion belt. There's nothing he can do to keep up with her.
Yeah,
so
yep.
I just want people to know, you know, he has no idea what she's talking about. She is just, she was wonderful to my family member.
Aww.
We are very proud to know her,
tangentially. Thank you for that. So, I know. Ugh, I can't. I just, it makes you so outraged. I feel the way the president did his press conference.
Yeah.
How dare you, Grampy? By the way, don't tell the onion belt story again at Thanksgiving.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways. One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Oh.
Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville. I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville
those days.
It's like Rocky Horror.
So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style
at the time.
Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we?
I don't know.
Yes. Oh. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt.
Right.
Which was the style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war. The only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
Okay. Oh, God.
I haven't played that whole thing in a while.
We haven't heard that story before. Oh, boy. All right.
You only get yellow onions in Benghazi.
Oh, God, Grampy. Really? A top advisor to Mitt Romney's failed presidential campaign slammed Republican officials for turning on their standard bearer after angling for cabinet posts only a few days earlier. It is stunning, said Dan Senior. The Friday before the election, we were in Cincinnati for this huge rally. Tens of thousands of people. You could feel the energy. 100 top-tier Romney surrogates were at the event. I'm backstage with some of them. I won't mention their names. Who? Do tell. We'll fill in the blanks. But they're talking about Romney like he's Reagan. His debate performances were the best performances of any Republican nominee in presidential history.
Wow.
He's iconic. Really? Splat. They were talking about him because they believed he was going to win in 4 or 5 days. And, in fact, some of them were already talking about our transition to position themselves for a Romney cabinet. I won't say who they are. They know who they are. They were on television. It was unbelievable. It was 5, 6 days later, absolutely eviscerating him.
Wow.
Many of these officials, I might add, chose to stay out of it. They chose not to run. They chose to stay out of it because they believed this race was unwinnable. Chris Christie, I think we're looking at you. Among others.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. Senator Rand Paul on the fiscal cliff, by the way. Here he is.
But the bottom line is it's a mistake to raise taxes on anybody. We shouldn't give on it, in on it. Those who are new here, please hold the line. Now, there is one compromise I would be in favor of, and that's that all spending should be cut. We compromise enough to say... God. Let's look for some waste in the military budget. The liberals, though, have to compromise and say entitlements have to be fixed.
Oh, yeah, that's not exactly a compromise. No. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Besides, this isn't really raising taxes. This is letting the Bush tax cuts expire, which they were supposed to do 2 years ago.
Which is what George Bush designed them to do.
Some people don't seem have gotten the memo about the election results. That is not a compromise. That's completely one-sided.
You do what we say, and then we'll think about maybe doing some cuts to the military.
I don't care for Rand Paul.
Rich people. Wig. The headline is, rich people complain the fiscal cliff deal could force them to pay slightly higher taxes. It's outrageous. Whatever it is, we won't pay it. New York Times profiles several wealthy investors bemoaning the higher tax rates promise. These individuals are now attempting to avoid potential increases by cashing out now. Among them, John Morin, medical equipment company owner, said he sold $650,000 in dividend-paying stocks in McDonald's and Coca-Cola a few days after the election, worried about a possible increase in taxes. Casino magnate Steve Wynn hinted higher taxes would cause him and other chief executives to rethink big payouts in future years. However, not much logic behind the hysteria, according to analysts. Wall Street Journal says dumping stocks before the end of the year for fear of Wall Street's latest boogeyman of higher capital gains rates actually makes little sense. For most investors, paying higher tax rates later beats paying lower taxes now. The longer you can keep Uncle Sam out of your pockets, the more wealth you'll be able to build. Despite the alarm raised by Wall Street, tax increases likely to affect about 4 million out of 114 million American households. Everybody just settle after the election, settle. Oh, I love this guy.
What?
Extremely rich Wall Street CEO wants Americans to work longer. The CEO of Goldman Sachs said he believes the retirement age needs to be raised because, in general, entitlements have to be slowed down and contained.
Idiot.
He said you're going to have to undoubtedly do something to lower people's expectations. The entitlements are what people think they're going to get because they're not going to get it. So this is a guy that makes $450 million dollars a year. So for him to work a couple extra years, that's a little different than, for starters, Social Security can pay full benefits for decades without any changes at all. One simple change, raising the cap on the payroll tax, can guarantee the program will pay nearly full benefits for 3 quarters.
Rich people are paying into it.
3 quarters of a century. In the meantime, Social Security is statutorily barred from adding a dime to the federal deficit, so cutting it doesn't change the deficit or debt picture. Mm. While a year or two of extra work, I think progress rights may not seem like much to a Wall Street CEO with his cushy corner office. For a factory worker or a janitor, it can be real problems. Life expectancy is only increasing for wealthier workers in non-physical jobs. Poor workers who are doing physical labors have not seen the same gains.
You're making $450 million a year, and you can't afford a little hike in your taxes?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Can I make a request?
Yes.
Can we take Justin on line one? I want to hear this.
Oh, okay. Justin in Huntington Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if this makes me the world's best father or the world's worst father because, my son, I basically raised him watching your show.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So, but what's really funny is every time he hears Reince Priebus, he breaks into the gym, Reince Priebus. And it doesn't matter whether it's on the radio or in the car or anything like that. It's pretty hysterical.
Rachel Maddow.
So, you want to do one real quick, Logan?
Sure.
Say it.
Reince Priebus!
I'm sorry. Do it again, Justin. Sorry. Do it again.
One more time. Really loud, bud. Reince Priebus!
Oh, awesome. What's his name?
His name's Logan.
Logan.
And and he also does. If I can do it right, one of these days, he also does a Rush Limbaugh thanks to Jim, which is quite hysterical as well.
Okay.
But real quick though, I just want to say Happy Thanksgiving and a parting shot is, that picture of Mitt Romney at the gas station.
Yeah.
didn't it look like he just came off a three-day coke bender from the Bunny Ranch?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, seriously, that is the exact thought that popped in my head. I thought I'd share that. Anyway,
you know,
happy Thanksgiving.
Justin, happy Thanksgiving to you and Logan. And here's my new dream, that Logan will grow up to marry this little girl.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That girl.
That's Stephanie Millicent.
There you go. Yep, that girl. All right, happy Thanksgiving, Justin. Logan, that girl get married, and it's officiated by the lying sack of crap buzzing. That's my dream.
You want your sack of crap? You want your sack of crap?
Wait.
Yes. Steamy, he's sticky,
and also...
He's sack of wicked crap.
All right. Oh, we're raising the next generation of really immature liberals. Okay.
I believe the children are our future.
Theta in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Theta.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm so glad that Mudcat Saunders got Eric Cantor. If not got him out, he got him to shut up.
Yeah.
But also, I think that we already did compromise on the tax hikes for the rich. Didn't we do that in 2010? How many times did we do the same compromise?
Yep.
Where you won't mess up people's unemployment. Okay, the rich can keep the tax, the low taxes.
Right. Right. Yes. We've been there, done that. The president said, I'm not going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I said at the time, this is a one-time proposition, and there you go. Earl in Illinois on Grampy McSame. Hello, Earl.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Thank you. You too.
I try not to get mad and use the language that can't be put on the radio, but somebody really needs to walk up to John McCain and slap the taste out of his mouth. That's what he needs, because she can give him a brain pill.
Okay.
I mean, how can he possibly, after what he said about Condoleezza Rice, turn around and talk about Susan Rice?
Yeah.
Her credentials are even better than Condoleezza Rice was.
Yep.
And Condoleezza Rice didn't say, Susan Rice didn't say, oops, sorry, we're going to lose, you just lost 3,000, we got weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah. Well, it makes it particularly more hypocritical, because he absolutely defended her, you know. Her.
She was lying. I mean, the people on the ground
saying there are no WMDs. Yeah, exactly. All right. Slap the what out of his mouth?
Taste.
The taste. Okay. Stephanie Miller Show does not, we don't recommend that.
Oh, sure we
do. No, we do not. 45 minutes.
Metaphorically, not.
Yes,
metaphorically.
Is that possible? 45 minutes after the hour.
I'm sure at his age, Grampy has no taste anyway.
Oh.
That's not true. He likes green corn.
Okay.
Green corn and onions.
He does.
Grandpa, Matlock's not real.
Neither are my teeth, but I can still eat corn on the cob if someone cuts it off and smushes it into a fine paste. Now that's good eating.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show with Right Wing World.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Actually, yeah, I would want it just about any other way than that crazy.
Okay.
Although, right. Never mind.
Oh, you want me to do that to you in a theater? Is that what you're saying? 51 minutes after the hour.
Different song.
1-800-STEP. Listen, all I'm worried about is our date on Saturday.
Oh, God. You just asked me to pick you up.
I thought, you're going to pick me up like a regular man? Bring me a bouquet. We're going to the theater, and we got to get umbrella hats and see if someone throws up on us from the mezzanine.
Yes. When I pick you up in the Surrey. I don't have a Surrey with the fringe on the top. Sorry.
No eyes and glass curtains?
You no.
Go right down.
Time will my gentleman caller be coming.
Hmm. Well, the play's at what?
2. Matinee, because
oh, wow.
We're losers. Okay.
Well, yeah, we can't go to a nighttime play.
No.
Are you kidding?
No. Even though it's a holiday weekend. Losers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has apparently made a discovery for the history books, but we'll have to wait a few weeks to learn what the red planet find may be. Media reports that we know what it is.
Mars. Needs women.
All right.
Ah. That explains so much.
Right.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? I see from the red planet to the red states to the right-wing world. Okay, Rush Limbaugh and the president.
If you're anti-capitalist, which Obama is, it's much easier to attack capitalism when you've driven the unemployment rate up to 8, 9, 10%. You got real pain. People can't find jobs, which means they can't find income, which means they can't support themselves, which means they can't live. That situation is made to order for you. You come in as Santa Claus, whatever you want to call it, and you make sure that the circumstances that exist are not that painful for people who don't have jobs.
Wow. Are we going to have 4 years of this? Is that it, pretty much?
That's what it
president
is.
President wants a bad economy on purpose because he
And he inherited the bad economy from George W. Bush.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's been fixing it slowly ever since.
So George Bush is the real socialist. That's obviously the point of that.
Sure.
Okay, Charles Payne, Fox Business Channel.
People are paying zero federal income tax, suck up more of those benefits you're talking about in a day than Stuart Varney will suck up in a year. Why would we, people who are self-made, not trillionaires, not even multimillionaires, but successful in America, have to be punished for it? I find these to be the most despicable people on the planet. I really do. They're not being honest. It's not true economic policy. It's punishment. It's punitive. And guess what? Everyone out there rooting for it, you ask yourself the next day, will you wake up with better job skills? Will we wake up a more competitive country? Or will this just take us further over a cliff that's way more dangerous than a fiscal cliff?
Yes, we might go back to the Clinton years when we paid those tax rates and everybody was doing so badly. Yes, that was awful.
God.
Okay.
It strikes me he doesn't know much about economics.
No.
Okay.
On the Fox Business Channel.
Yeah.
Andrea Tantaros on the Five.
An administration that refuses to acknowledge terror when it happens. It's always a lone wolf or an isolated incident or a video.
Or a series of weapons of mass destruction that got us into a war.
They never acknowledge the terror.
They acknowledge terror right before he shot Bin Laden in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Who's that? They're just scrambling.
They don't know what the hell to do.
He doesn't know what the thing. He does. Gaff. Gark.
He pretty much summed up. We don't need to do right wing world. Just that. We'll just play that for the next 4 years.
Carrots. Wolf.
Bark.
Wolves. Lone wolves.
John Bolton on the Fox News.
I think that it's through the counterterrorism efforts internationally of the CIA and other elements of the intelligence community that were most likely to find out who did it, track them down, and do that terrible thing that the Obama administration doesn't like to do, use rendition to get these people to Guantanamo Bay and try a little gentle persuasion to see what might have happened.
Wow. Yeah, torture.
Boy. That guy. That guy?
That'll fix everything.
Would have been in the Romney administration. Yeah, that guy. Okay, Michael Graham on Fox News on immigration. Here we go. Michael Graham.
If you want to come here to the United States and work and make our nation better while making yourself better, come on. We got legal immigration, as Mark Rubio said, a million at a time. But if you're coming here because someone figured out that I want to live in America, everything free in America, there's no reason, no country in the world says, hey, send us your deadbeats so we can put them on the deadbeat dole as soon as they arrive. It is a crazy message, and it is a slap in the face to the millions and millions of legal immigrants who come here, work, and then their tax dollars go to pay bums to live up our system.
At least he has a soothing tone of voice. That's important.
How come everybody's so yelly today?
I don't know. Jim.
Because they already lost. I don't know what to do. There's a black guy in the White House.
Who said elsewhere, Pakistanis fight against Indians, Sunnis fight against Shia, Greeks and the Turks, Iranians and Saudis, Israelis and Palestinians. Different cultures fight over ethnic and geographic grudges from the past. Here in America, they come together to build the future. Who said that? No, that was a very bad guess. Governor Jennifer Granholm in a fabulous piece in Politico entitled Want American Exceptionalism? Fix Immigration.
Yeah.
By the way, she has a fabulous show right here on the current television network, just completely by Coinky Dink.
I understand she's a co-worker.
Yes. That's not why I did it. It was because of a good point on immigration. Okay, Mark Levin.
Does Crystal know what Obama's all about? Do you think Obama's going to be satisfied with whatever he gets here? You create a head of steam for the guy. Oh, and then one other finally. You just undermined your base in the Republican Party. It's not a base for the rich. Stop talking like the lib you used to be, Bill. We're talking about defending private property rights. We're talking about defending people, whoever they are, however much they earn, whether they're white, black, yellow, or whatever. defending their right to earn a living, to create, to produce.
So if people making hundreds of millions of dollars have to pay slightly more in taxes, that's like the Holocaust.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Exactly. All right. All right, boys.
All right, got your priorities.
Bill Kristol, Mark Levin, don't fight. You're both incredibly wrong most of the time. Don't fight.
And they're not both not pretty.
Not really.
Okay. Stephanie Miller. Sarcastic.
Mark Levin says I'm sarcastic. Deb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love. It's good to talk
Hello,
to you
baby.
Again, and happy Thanksgiving
you
to everybody.
Too. You too.
I'm calling because the Susan Rice thing with the 97 Republicans writing some letter. You know, every time the Republicans speak, and I shouldn't say it like that, but every time the liars speak, it's like projection, psychology 101, where, see, you know how they said that that she is either willfully or incompetently misleading the American public? Well, guess what? These 97 Republicans are both willfully and incompetently misleading the American people just with that letter alone, because they know what the truth is by now. They've got to stop. I think what we need to do is have your staff or I'm talking to everybody I know about getting online and sending these 97 Republicans a letter worded exactly the same, telling them they're not so bright.
Exactly. And by the way, we had an election. Lord, move on. 58 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal Hal Sparks, Hump Days with Hal, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanksgiving vacation, 6 minutes after the hour.
That means this hour is going to be even weirder.
With a very tasty side dish.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks?
Yeah.
Yes! Yes! Hold on!
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey. Wow.
How are you,
good
tasty
morning.
Little side dish?
I'm good. I was so I'm on my way here, and you know, I'm only on the 1 hour, so I'm in the Coffee Bean breaking up something, and I roll in. This woman goes, "Are you supposed to be on the radio? Or are you?" It's like,
what's
just
your
a customer. Yeah, she's just buying her own coffee. She's like, "I'm rushing out to my car to hear you. Aren't you supposed to be on the radio right now?"
I'm, like, I'm just there at 8 o'clock. So don't worry, don't rush, don't crash your car. I'll be right there. But it was so funny.
Everybody's health schedule.
I know this woman runs past me. Aren't you supposed to be on the radio right now? I'm like, has my assistant called you? Is he making robot doubles of himself? This is so weird.
I think Timo sent this just for you. The Secessionist States of America, Sour Grapistan.
Yes.
Cry Babylon, Bellyachia, Crying Iberia.
Hey,
Wah Ziristan.
You know, there's been a lot of argument.
Do your Sean Hannity.
Knock, knock, knock. I think we should leave the United States because they don't believe in freedom. Knock, knock, knock. Of course, we'll lose all our military bases and infrastructure, bridges and roads. Knock, knock, knock. But we'd be more free to shoot each other and drink ourselves into a hellhole. Knock, knock. I'm Sean Hannity. Knock, knock, knock. What a goon. And O'Reilly, O'Reilly's chasing him down the kind of Ward Cleaver, June Cleaver, all that's done, that business. It's just like, you're shocked that we're not 50s America? By the way, there are two places where Republicans go when they talk about, when they hearken back. And both places are where black people had a lot less rights.
That's right.
There seems to be the only distinction between, like, 50% of the right wing is that some of them just want minorities to have fewer rights, and the other half want minorities and women to have fewer rights. Uh-huh. And there seems to be a civil war between the two. And it's like a tug of war over whether chicks should be allowed to work for business sake. Like, they don't care. They don't think they belong there, but they might be, you know, they're not as, they don't have as much gumption, so they won't try to fight for a raise. So they're great in the office. 70% to work twice as hard. 70% of the money. Yeah. That's great. Why would you want them in?
Because they should be at home. Nook, nook.
Nook, nook. As I've mentioned, the U.S. Senate got a few binders full of women.
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Mitt pumping the gas?
Yeah, that was pretty good. It wasn't that
and
he was pumping gas.
And the wrinkled shirt and the...
The funny thing is, he had posted that picture before. It might have helped him.
Yeah.
That's the funny part. Wow, I can't relate to that guy. He looks bagged out, tired, and pumping his own gas. That's something I can relate to.
We had a caller earlier saying that it looked like he was coming down off a three-day coke bender.
Totally. Yeah, he's going to grow a beard and wander around like Al Gore in an airport. Like, there's going to be this.
That was Nick Nolte-ish. That was his hair.
Oh, man. The Mitt Romney mugshot, how far away do you think it is, honestly, before he just kind of
snaps? Because Ann warned us, I worry about
his mental health. He doesn't handle pressure well. That's great. Well, it's nice to know that if he had become president in the transition, all this stuff would be going down between Israel and the Gaza Strip. And so I think his mental health would have been key now. It would have been tuned. Yeah.
All right, Terry writes, because by the way, StephanieMiller.com, where you can email us all.
Yep.
Terry writes, Steph, I'm somewhat taken aback by the lack of fart jokes this week. As we approach the holiday season, let me remind you, tons of turkey tofurkey about to be delivered to colons across America.
Oh, dear.
Throw in some of your mom's cabbage. The methane about to be unleashed on the planet should be enough to melt a few polar ice caps. We may even have a global emergency. Terry, you're right. It is time to. We're on Al Gore's network. We should alert people.
Right. Absolutely.
Right?
Methane.
Totally. Exactly. All right.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you got the first 2 hours to get all this stuff out of your system. Literally.
No, it builds up during the first 2 hours.
That's great. Well, remind me to come in at 6 next week.
Gary in New Jersey, you're on with Hal. Hello, Gary.
Hello there, sexy mama. Happy Thanksgiving to you all.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Yes.
Hello? Go ahead.
Fire away.
Yes, fire away. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's happy Thanksgiving, sexy mama, and all your minions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, a couple quick things. I know we're pressed for time. Besides being thankful for your show,
I'm
thankful that Mitt Romney is gone, but Big Bird is still with us. And I've been thinking about the election in 2016. Do you realize we might have Joe Biden versus Sarah Palin? I can't wait for that debate.
Oh.
I'll be like a grandfather trying to explain to a toddler why she can't drive a car.
Yeah, that'll be a thing of beauty.
You know what? Toddlers have an excuse for being ignorant. They actually don't know anything. They just arrived. It's more like one of those sweet 16 teenagers, at one of those on MTV. Like those, it'd be like explaining politics to one of them. Whatever. I read lots of stuff. Shut up.
Shut up. Like, I'm going to have to know that.
How do you spell LOL? Wait.
Well, yeah.
How do you spell LOL backwards?
Yeah, right. That's so weird.
Access to maps.
Yeah.
Also as such.
In addition.
Everybody knows that Greece is Afghanistan's road to the ocean.
Right.
And it's
right?
The word.
Right.
Right. Okay. Hey, looky here. Why? You know, us over here with our fancy booklet and our numbers.
Yeah.
Nate Silver's gay. As it turns out, he is gay. What? They are big gay numbers. Yes.
Everybody's gay.
Everybody that was right. Okay.
I was right. I'm not gay.
That's true. Nate Silver credits his interest in math and numbers and being an outsider when he was young, nerdy, agnostic, and gay.
Aw.
Silver's obviously an intelligence numbers cruncher, blah, 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 blah. He's also been out for years, but this is the first time he's explicitly acknowledged his sexual orientation.
Hmm.
I said that if he is gay, they can suck on his big gay numbers. For now, he can also bask in the warmth of his $700,000 book deal and the knowledge that he was very, very right.
Yes. Yeah.
And the guy from Unskewed Polls getting his coffee now, perhaps. Maybe he'll be a...
No, that guy has put together a new website explaining how Obama stole the election.
Yes. Barack O'Frada.
Barack O'Frada.
Awesome. I just saw this.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's that same guy.
Keep telling yourself that, dude. Awesome. Seriously. And keep telling yourself all the way up to the next midterm.
Because
we are going to hammer this so hard. Over the next 2 years.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, the gay, what do you call it, nudist ban in San Francisco?
The gay ban?
No, that would be, that would be news.
That wouldn't go over well.
Wow.
No.
Because that question in particular in San Francisco.
Everybody gay!
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Hmm.
So it passed, the gay ban.
Nudity ban.
Nudity ban.
You know what I'm saying. Nudity ban.
There's kind of a difference.
I know. Nudists vow to reject an order from a bunch of uptight Americans to cover up at city officials. We're cautiously optimistic. San Francisco nudists said Monday they would continue to walk the streets naked regardless of the proposal. You know, I'm a liberal. Can I just say I'm kind of a little ex-Catholic girl, and I don't.
Confucius, yeah, no.
I don't want to sit on public.
I don't want to sit on a bus seat that someone's
twigs were on, berries.
Butt
something.
Was on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for their own health. I'm wearing clothing, at least.
Right.
I have a barrier of protection. They have no idea what happened there a moment
exactly.
ago before they got on. That's one of the reasons why we wear clothes. It's one of the clothing is one of the reasons why humans were able to advance beyond the stage of instant disease and being consumed by predators. Is because we were able to survive, weather conditions that we normally would not survive, and save ourselves from scrapes that would get infected and kill us. Hey, what a notion!
But plus we will someone think of the children? I have to think of the children.
Well,
I'm
I don't care
saying.
About the kids. That's
well,
I mean,
screw them.
They're naked half the time, anyways. They don't have the hang-up.
Somebody, please think of the children.
Somebody that runs a business near this plaza where it mostly, he said, people think this is a gay issue, but it's not. The gay community has changed. A lot of people have kids now, and there's a school a block away, and kids all come here about 2 p.m. every day. But these people think that because gays are very tolerant, they can come here and do this, but it's not acceptable. Yeah. I kind of agree.
I'm not a fan of the
look
walking down the street nude.
First of all, everybody can't be naked because we all have stuff to do. We'd be too distracted.
That's right.
There's a certain level. I don't want
to
be a prude about
comes
it.
To a halt.
I don't believe in Victorian clothing, but a certain level of minor covering up is, I think, healthy for just daily activity. Otherwise, I'd be far too distracted and I'd never have arrived this morning. Had the lady at the coffee shop been naked,
exactly.
I might never have made the
You'd
show.
You'd be like, hey, you're late to the Stephanie. What?
Even if I didn't do anything with her, I'd be kind of just staring and forget what time it is.
Ooh, boobies. Oh.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, I've been again, I missed another appointment at the bank. Foreclosures through the roof. Nudity on the rise. Damn it.
And the added fun fact in this, the area representative who proposed the ban, Scott Wiener. Scott Wiener. Ironically.
Well, that took some balls. Some what?
Right? Nothing. Yeah, exactly, Jim. Thank you.
How do we know if they're covered up?
But they were saying it's a busy transit district. It's a plaza. There's lots of naked men sitting around displaying themselves, spread-eagled. Many business owners complain that some of the people attracted to the freedom to be naked in public were just using nudity as an excuse for lewd behavior.
Yeah.
There was
a
lot of...
And if you hang around schoolyards, you tend to get arrested for being naked and black.
Right. Apparently there were a lot of men in a certain state.
A turgid state, if
right.
you will.
Yes. Like that part of Indiana the guy Alabama. Called from yesterday.
Oh.
He said he called from the turgid part, the turgid red part.
Yeah. There was a guy, comedian in Edinburgh had a great joke and whatever. He goes, the big worry about nudity in public is pedophilia and this stuff. And he goes, well, it'd certainly be easier to catch him.
This is true.
You know what I mean? The guy parked in the truck, maybe it's harder to spot, but the guy standing there with the erection, you know, he looks a little suspect.
Sure.
Yeah. Might want to call the cops. That guy's giving me... I'm getting mixed signals from that human being.
Any man that's ever sat naked in wicker knows
why it's
really not a good idea.
How do you know?
It's like Larry Reeb's old
joke.
Never cook bacon while you're naked.
Yes. Mm.
Never
because
sit
we've
naked
done several news stories about guys who have gotten stuck in various pieces of furniture and they had to be... Right. Jaws of Life and people come and... You know, or
well,
they
that's like,
swelled and they
those
got
are
caught
like,
in certain
they're
things.
They're not quite Darwin awards, but certainly Darwin injuries. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a certain point where it wouldn't have taken you out completely, but might have taken you out of commission
the
for a
time. The embarrassment alone
of
having to call 911 and say, could you get this wicker chair off my ball?
Wouldn't you throw down like a towel or a cushion or something?
Yes, I would. Thank you for asking, Chris.
I can't get my pants over this wicker chair. Could you come help me? I have an appointment.
I have a Velcro issue.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, sexy liberal.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number.
Idea.
Don't free from anywhere. Look, it's another holiday gift, everybody.
What?
Yesterday, Kelly Reinfleisch.
Rindfleisch?
Which either means pure meat or it's from meat from the Rhine River, which makes no sense at all.
This, in this case, it means Republican dead meat. Former top aide to Scott Walker was sentenced to 6 months of jail time after being convicted for her role in the John Doe criminal corruption probe.
Oh.
At the hearing, new and damaging information detailing Scott Walker's knowledge of and involvement in the illegal campaign activity carried on his behalf was entered into the court record.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. We could have a whole long frog march. Scarrove.
You mean he won't be able to undo the same-day voter registration in Wisconsin, the longest-held
yes.
same-day voter registration law in the country? He won't be able to undo that?
Yeah.
Nope.
Good.
Okay.
So I think that's positive.
She should marry Reins Priebus. Reins Fleisch.
Mike in Buffalo. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Long time fan. I saw you guys at Shays.
Yay!
This is like a trifecta. Yeah. I saw John this morning sitting in for Bill Press, and you got Hal there, and it's great.
I have
2 points to make. One is Benghazi related. I read an editorial about 11 embassy attacks during the Bush administration with multiple deaths and wounded, and yet it's off the radar screen. That would be something to, you know, to fact check because of the lack of politicalization by the left, you know, during that period.
Right.
The other point is Grover Norquist. You just heard Rand Paul, former CEO of UBS. This was a month or two ago, said in the whole history of our country, we've raised revenues after wars to pay for them. Now, the Republicans are telling us we have to cut education, we have to cut programs for, the elderly in order to pay for the deficit, which, you know, a large part was created by these wars and, you know, the tax
and
policy.
Tax cuts for the rich, yeah.
And I really think you have, the Democrats, especially the president, has to start framing a better narrative and going after these people who are saying we can't raise taxes on millionaires and billionaire job creators for the simple, you know, they're cutting checks for the taxes they, you know, political contributions for the taxes they'd be paying for the next decade.
Yeah, I agree. Hal, don't you think, I just saw Grover Norquist on TV the other day, and if Republicans ever want to win another election, don't they need to disavow him? He can't primary all of them if they all decide to, you know.
It seems like they're looking to be a house party. Literally,
right.
It's they've almost written off the presidential election. Maybe that's their thought with the 47% concept.
Right.
That's actually a 53% concept. If you look at people who are like, they're only about less than 30% hardline Republicans in this country, and a lot of those are just T-shirt wearing Republicans.
Yeah.
They have an R on their jersey because that's how they've always voted.
Why are they going to stay loyal to Grover, to a guy named Grover?
Out of fear. They think that there's going to be some circular comeback. They actually, because they're true believers. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why they can't re-message for 2016 because they'll try. They'll try to package what they're doing, but they really do believe in trickle down. They really think it works, even though it never has. And they're big, you know, they think that the reason it failed is because Reagan's presidency wasn't long enough, that George W. Bush's presidency wasn't long enough. If they'd have gotten a guy in there that had been able to continue that.
Yeah.
And
especially with these election results, though, people have said it over and over. I just don't get it. Why, to me, that borders on treasonous. They've signed a pledge to a person and not to the Constitution, so they're going to do the same thing all over again. It's like the election didn't happen, some of them, you know?
Arguably, he just gives them a lightning rod where they can get off easy because they believe that stuff too. So it's not a drift for them to sign that because they're going to do it anyways. There are a couple of the wavery ones. Arguably, Mitt Romney was one of those people who could go kind of either way politically with it, but decided to sign it as a way to bolster his image. Now, I think that would have been his equivalent of Read My Lips had he become president, because he would have had to raise revenue somehow to pay for the wars, which is the patriotic act to do. That's the thing. I think one of the ways you could redress this raising the taxes on the rich idea is that we still have to pay off these two wars.
Right.
That's why we have to cut entitlements and we have to cut schools and all that stuff. The reason we're having to cut those ideas or think about even cutting them is because we're not bothering to pay for the wars.
Yep. Right.
Richard in Massachusetts. Hey, Richard.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Thanks, guys. Stephanie, John McCain got his nerve to call Susan Rice not very bright. Mm-hmm. When he graduated, served in the bottom at West Point when he graduated from there. You know,
yes, and then pick Sarah Palin as the brightest person possible to serve as the leader of the free world. Yeah,
he's turned out to be a bitter old man, and you know who we should be bitter at and mad at is Karl Rove and George W. Bush. Don't forget, he won that primary in New Hampshire in 2000.
Right.
They had to put all the stops in South Carolina because they knew if he won in South Carolina, he would have got the nomination. Mm-hmm. So they said he fathered a black child. He said, that he was in prison for 5.5 years and he was not merely very stable. So that's what did him in, and he should be mad at them and nobody else.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, believe me, the thing is, he's mad at them and everybody else. I think there's plenty of abject rage in John McCain to go around, and that's kind of the problem, because sometimes it just doesn't find a logical home.
I just saw that old picture of him hugging George Bush. He looks like a Rockin' Sock'em robot.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry I have to touch you.
It seems very warm, very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Al on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
God, go home. What's wrong with you?
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show.
You gluttonous maniac. Maybe one of the ways of showing you're thankful is that you don't have to gorge yourself like it's 1812 and you have to eat all the harvest food before it rots because refrigerators haven't been invented yet.
Here's a good way to for the run I'm not taking tomorrow.
Here's a good way to show you're thankful. Eat enough, but give some away.
Yeah.
Because that show your abundance by not gaining 4 pounds over the weekend.
Wow, speaking of which, we will have some very exciting sexy liberal news coming up very soon.
What? Yeah.
I've got to, you know, the main thing I'm concerned about, I've got to get a new writer for sexy liberal, because as you know how we get nothing backstage. Rihanna, her sounds like stoner heaven. Cheetos, Ruffles, Oreos, gummy bears.
Wow.
The TMZ.
Nut, clearly.
Yes, TMZ has her the full list several pages long. Would you like the highlights?
Sure.
Okay. One package, this is what she demands backstage. One package of Oreos, one large Haribo brand Gold Bears, gummy bears, gummies. One box Capri Suns, 10 bags cheddar cheese Ruffles, Red Bull, Grey Goose, Coke, Sprite, Ginger Ale, Diet Coke, 10 bags of Flaming Hot Cheetos, stuffed olives, a box of Golden Graham cereals, mini Baby Bell cheeses.
Oh, I'd take those.
Hungry.
I don't know what the big deal is. I used to put that in a blender and drink it like a that was like a power shake for the Elvis.
She must.
That's what I used to eat.
Why isn't she like 6,000 pounds?
Well, she
hates all that stuff, man. That's what you do. You put all that stuff backstage so you don't touch it. Maybe if you put healthy food, she'd probably be gorging herself on it all day. Put on kinds of pounds. Maybe
why are you
she
talking
hates
like Elvis?
Because he ate a lot of crap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta get on this.
I think it's kind of funny. Come on,
Kesha. She's just weird.
Ugh.
I feel like perhaps I don't do enough for my fans. She has made a bra out of her fans' teeth.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. She asked her Twitter followers.
That can't be comfortable.
She asked her Twitter followers to send her a tooth each. She received 1,000 of her fans' teeth and decided to create a bra, headdress, and earrings out of them. She said her close connection to her fans keeps her going despite the demands.
How did these fans get the teeth out of their head?
I don't know. Should I ask for what, a toenail?
Maybe a lot of them are little kid fans who have, you know.
Well, that's even creepier that she made a bra out of kids'
children's teeth.
Right. Maybe I should ask everyone, just send me one toenail piece. Something. Yeah. Please, get the toe jam out of it.
Don't do that, because Travis is going to have to slog through all of that.
I will make a necklace.
Yeah.
Oh, God. People are going to do
send
that.
Send Stephanie your toenail clippings.
Hey, here's
she's going to make a hat.
I'm going to make a hat.
Or a brooch.
Don't I look super?
Or a pterodactyl.
Don't I look super in his hat? Okay.
I'm super! Thanks for asking! All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say! I'm feeling super! Now nothing bugs me! Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Toe jam hat. Okay. The situation, I know this is breaking news to nobody, from the Jersey Shore, not very bright.
Oh?
He accidentally tweeted his phone number.
Wow. How do you accidentally?
Yeah.
He thought he was sending a direct message,
yeah.
which is a private message between two people, but he accidentally sent it out of a tweet.
And then he said, my phone is ringing off the hook. We definitely have a situation. See what he did there, because he's a situation.
Funny. That wasn't an accident. That's stupid. Believe me, he has a second number, and he tweeted that one. There's a book about like guerrilla marketing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things you do is, and I've done that. I did it with the number. I use my Skype to do radio stuff sometimes on my show.
Oh.
So it gives you a number. So I tweeted that thing or whatever, like, oops.
Okay.
And then people will all
there you go.
Add it to the thing, and then you get more callers because you're automatically in their auto dial as opposed to.
Okay, don't do the creepy Elmo voice now, but the voice of Elmo has resigned.
Now that a second.
There's been a second allegation.
That's not what an allegation is. It's down to the river outside of Pittsburgh. Allegation. Allegation.
That's an allegation.
That's like an alligator, but it does business.
Okay.
That's like a business alligator.
Oh.
I quit.
The tweet says,
I give up.
Sorry, go ahead.
Add the boats up. There was not a support for a divided government. It was a clean sweep by the Democrats. A political wire with the numbers. Yeah. Would you like the number fun facts? Democrats won 50.6% of the votes for president. Guess what Romney won? Ironically, a little over
47%.
Okay, there is a comedy god. 53.6% of the votes for the Senate went to Democrats, 42.9% for Republicans. For the House, 49% went to Democrats, 48.2% for the Republicans. That's not a vote for divided government. It's a clean sweep.
Right.
Because, the boner said, American people want solutions. And tonight they've responded by renewing our House Republican majority. No.
Redistricting help you keep certain seats.
The American people have made clear there's no mandate for raising tax rates. Yes.
Yes,
there is. And the exit polls all said that. Even people that voted for Romney, 60% in the exit polls said they would think the rich need
a good. Here's a news flash for people. There's actually a decent portion of Republicans who believe that when you are into wars, you actually try to pay for them in a reasonable way.
Right.
However you feel about entitlements, that deficit is all about war.
Right. Anyway, that was we just talked about with Adam Schiff. Mm-hmm. It is the redistricting and all of that. So the Democrats again won the popular vote in the House. It's because of the House seats. They made all those districts.
Yep.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12 the phone number. Let's go to Peggy in Missouri. You're on with Hal. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Hi.
Morning.
I heard your comments earlier when you were talking about John Bolton. It's just scary. He said something about. Waterboarding is gentle persuasion.
Yes. Gentle persuasion, he called it.
That's really weird. And I just wanted to say, too, I love your clink impressions there of Reince Priebus.
Yes.
They are so fun.
Reince.
Reince. He doesn't sound like his name because he's really whiny.
Yes.
He's like Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer and Reince Priebus.
Oh, well, we'll have to leave it there.
All right, Peggy, did you have something else?
Yeah, Reince is such a retarded, nutbag kind of that. He reminds me so of Scott Walker.
Oh, here.
Yeah, my comment was about, did you know that I believe Liz Cheney's going to have her own show? That's what I heard. She keeps filling in for O'Reilly. She's filled in instead of Laura. Usually
wouldn't
Laura always fills in.
Liz and Cheney.
She's been on three times.
Wow, that just screams entertainment, doesn't it?
Yeah. She's because all the things that she said over the last 2 years have really worked out.
Panned out.
Yeah, they've actually came. Yeah.
Yes, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were chuckling
especially
at something on the interweb.
Half the time she's about this far away from FEMA camps, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Hello, Edwin in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Hello, commies.
Yes.
So, anyway, it's a sad day for America. You know, we should all shoot a Native American in the face.
What?
Thanks, Kevin.
No, it's awful, yeah. No, but anyway, so I've already been axed out of my Thanksgiving because of my liberal views.
You're going to be kicked out of your family?
No. Just the day of gorging.
Yes.
However, so, you know, the one thing was the whole fax thing. You know, I tried to use one of those in a calm manner, and it kind of went out of control.
Oh, with the family. So.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of tense Thanksgivings. Yeah. Any tips for Thanksgiving with your right-wing relatives?
Yeah, wait till they've eaten a lot of turkey so the tryptophan gets in their system. It almost puts them in a hypnotic state. There's hundreds of people who think, like, oh, you've just had a turkey leg. Oh, guess what? Facts actually don't have a liberal bias. They're just true. The Earth is billions of years old, not 6 days. It wasn't made in...
Marco Rubio said, we don't really know.
God didn't require a nap because he was exhausted from the... If you believe that, you actually believe God is lazy, sort of. But knock yourself... and sleep, okay. And yams.
And scene. Okay. Yeah. All right. Eric in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, we're liberals living in East Texas, and if Texas succeeds... Will we be repatriated to Austin, and will there be an airlift to Austin?
Yes, they're actually. I've done a lot of shows in Austin, and I'm a mid-level celebrity comedian. I was allowed to look at the rockets that are actually buried under Austin, and if Texas ever secedes, a dome will form over it. There is enough rocket fuel in it to kind of like Iron Man 1, get you just out over the border.
Right. And like a catapult, but high tech.
And you'll land in southern Illinois, actually.
Sure, there you go. Enjoy. Thank you for that, Hal. Thank you for that
fun
fact.
It's like worlds collide.
Yeah. It's just, you know, my favorite thing about the secession thing is that they actually think they're going to keep their military bases and that they're going to be able to fight off Mexico.
Sure.
Good luck with that. I'm dead serious.
They'll have money.
You know what the only difference between Texas pre-secession versus post-secession is that all the severed heads they're finding on the other side of the border will now be happening on the Texas side of the border.
Right.
Because that's what will happen. The only thing holding that back is the federal government.
Yep. And then all the hostess jobs, by the way, might go to Mexico, so then they'll have to build a fence to keep Americans out.
Right,
sure.
Right. They'll be defending Cracker Barrel like the Alamo. God.
Jay in Lexington, Kentucky, here on the
How was
it
the last shootout on top of Cracker Barrel?
Hello.
We almost ran out of saltwater taffy.
Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Good
morning, Hal. Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by when you were in town a couple of months ago. It was great.
Where are you, actually? Where are you
Lexington.
Oh,
Lexington,
yes, of course.
Kentucky.
Yes. Well, I have to because my folks live in the state, so I have to perform at least once a year or they get angry with me. So they get two holidays and one show.
Two points, Steph. Mitch McConnell wrote an op-ed in the Lexington Herald Leader on Monday. You can look it up, Kentucky.com. He says all of Kentucky went for Mitt Romney except for the two biggest cities, so he's going to represent the views of Kentucky.
Oh, I see, except for the parts that he doesn't like.
Kentucky, but not Kentuckians.
Right.
That's a fascinating part.
He's like a picky child. He's going to eat everything but just the little parts he doesn't like. He's going to represent the state except for the parts he doesn't
except
like.
Except for the peas.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the blue sections that are like peas.
Right.
Right. Okay. I just love it. Hal Sparks is so show business. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. You want me to go back to Kentucky for free? No, I'll do a show. And.
Yeah.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Sugar is about the only thing that's not in the sauerkraut recipe, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. 50 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yeah, sauerkraut's one of those dishes, Thanksgiving-wise, that actually seems to be based on controlled rotting.
Well, that's what sauerkraut
is.
That's what I mean.
It's like, just at the right stage of rot.
Like wine. Wine is actually controlled rotting.
Kimchi.
It's
this golfer brings us the Taco Bell. Takes their will they really eat this campaign one step further. There's a new snack. Let's see. It's called the Loaded Griller.
Okay.
It's a nachos, chicken, or a loaded baked potato wrapped in a tortilla. Walker said, in the sense that containing a quantity of carbohydrates sufficient to sustain a camel's complete journey through the harsh Sahara Desert.
It seems like they are responding to the possibility of the raising the Medicare, or Social Security age by trying to kill off more Americans through crap diet. Seems to be the plan. So
Paul Ryan's going to give a speech on, what is it, Jim? How to modernize dealing with poor people.
Right. Straight from in front of a big fast food restaurant. One of the ways we can solve this problem is knock a bunch of these bastards off. Here, eat here. You'll die sooner.
Mitch McConnell's idea to make poor people into? I forget what it was.
We're going to turn poor people into mulch.
That was his idea of modernization.
Or as I like to call them, leafy America.
Soylent Green. Somebody said they think his Paul Ryan solution involves Soylent Green.
Yeah, in some fashion.
Not far off.
Jeannie in Ohio, you're on with Hal. Hello, Jeannie.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, too.
I wanted to say one thing first and then another. We should name the turkeys that President Obama is going to pardon Karl Rove and Reince Priebus.
I'd like to see him prosecuted first before you
prosecute. Yeah.
And, also I wanted to, what exactly do the Republicans mean when they talk about Social Security cutting it? What exactly do they mean? Benefits or, hiring the age? I don't understand what they mean.
Quite frankly, it usually means nothing. It's a bone they throw to their own
constituents. It's not in crisis A.
I know that.
But it's a great thing to run on and to fear-monger on. Here's the thing. They're not running on it right now because the election's over. What they're doing is fear-mongering on it so that they can slow the president's momentum or in making any kind of meaningful change in other areas. Mm-hmm. Right. But we have to deal with this. This is an emergency. Yes. We have to deal with this. It's going to be bankrupt in 27 years.
Don't they know that they scare people? When they do that, especially senior citizens.
That's the point.
Disability, and it's like, it's an awful thing what they do.
I know.
That's what you do instead of govern.
There you go.
Yeah, it's scare people.
Sarah in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal. Hi, Sarah.
Well, good morning, sexy mama.
And thank you. Hello.
And I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, and I agree with the previous caller, but what I called about is, number one, Ann Romney, it's the only time I've ever agreed with her. Poor Mitt. Really, him pumping his own gas, looking like he slept on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the one thing they said that was true is maybe she does buy his shirts at Costco. He was wearing.
But he really, his mental state, I think they all should have some kind of test. Now that we've got health insurance, don't you think they should have it?
Yeah, I think. And Jim, apparently they're going to settle here in California. I thought it was only the trees and the lakes and stuff were only the right
height in Michigan.
Height and the right kind of lakes in Michigan.
I love the lakes, especially the inland lakes.
Well, that's Finger Lakes.
I guess the trees are the right height here.
Mitt Romney took his family to Disneyland yesterday.
Yes.
Seriously.
I know.
And I thought that you only went to Disneyland when you won something.
You just lost in a landslide. What are you going to do now?
Here's what I think. I'm going to go to Disneyland. Is that where we're going? We're going to Disneyland or a Disney Adventure. I would do whatever the family wants. Or maybe we'll just go to Downtown Disney. Maybe we'll just wander around the parking lot in this wrinkled shirt. Here's what I think.
Some of those figures are in like Small World are more authentic than he is.
I think he's just going to take over from Mr. Lincoln.
Right.
He's more robotic than
that. That new Abe Lincoln is so unlifelike. I actually think his family took him. It looks like from him, like his hair and his shirt, that they went, you have to get out of the house. Yeah. He was like binging on NyQuil and
quit sitting around.
Same
look in his eyes and his hair ruffled. And he's just on the ride. It's a small
world.
We got to
get Dad out of the house. You know how he gets.
It's a small world after all.
If we leave him in the house, he'll get into the Werther's again, and you know how that goes.
He looks like he's been doing a little shame eating. It was a little poochy, and the shirt was a little like,
A few too many BBQ Pringles.
I think he may have actually had some coffee.
Rose in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rose.
Hello. Tell everybody in your audience to celebrate Thanksgiving by not shopping at Walmart on Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, and the weekend after. Support the workers who are walking out.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well,
it's have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, there's been a big push for small business in this country, and everybody talks about how important quote unquote small business is. Well, one of the things you can do this holiday season is actually try to shop at a small business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find gifts for people or by God, go to a hardware store and make a gift. I bought a printer bot this year.
What can you make from a hardware store, Hal?
I built a 3D printer yesterday, I'll have you know, that prints in plastic, and you feed filament into it, and you can print whatever objects you create in a 3D program.
That's the geekiest thing I have ever heard.
It is, but that was a Kickstarter company.
Okay.
And they build these things themselves, and you assemble them. Right. It's part of the process, but it's cool.
Trust me, you do not want anything I could build for you that I get at a hardware store.
I would treasure your weird little birdhouse where the birds have to live outside for their own safety.
Stephanie, by the sharp points
you
inside.
You built me a bird condo? Well, yeah. I didn't buy it. I got it on the market at a short sale.
Steel wool and a Phillips screwdriver. I made it into a here.
It's a sculpture of Bob Ross. We're gonna paint some nice trees. That's some friendly water right there. Steel wool on a screwdriver. There you go. Stephanie Miller's Bob Ross sculpture.
Where can we go for the magic of Hal Sparks? HalSparks.com?
Well, of course. And of course, I'm tweeting at Hal Sparks right now.
Whoa.
But also, I'm in Philly next week at Helium.
Sweet.
So be there.
Helium? Is that meaning you're going to act like this?
Yes.
Yes,
that's what it means.
How are you doing?
Take your Hal Sparks reservation?
God. It's a comedy club. It's one of the best in the country.
We will have a huge sexy liberal announcement next week.
Whoa.
Have a happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes.
I'm thankful for all of you.
Really?
No, she isn't.
No.
I
would like to say thank you. Chris Lloyd, Jim Lloyd, T-Bone on phones and drums, everybody in the current control room. Jackie, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
See you Monday.